One of the challenging things about speaking is going before the Lord and asking Him what the word is for this coming week. When my wife went before the Lord and said, "What's the word for Sunday?" all the Lord said was, "Ask Richard." And you know, it's a hard thing sometimes because whatever we say about ourselves, you know, there's a certain sense of built-in almost pride that you say, "I want to speak. I want to bring the word of the Lord." And when the Lord said, "Give it to someone else," it's a hard thing to lay down. And I want to thank Pat for laying it down. She went to Richard and said, "The Lord has said to me, you've got a word on your heart for us." And Richard said, "How do you know?" "Oh, what?" And then, yeah, that was true. There was a word on Richard's heart, wasn't there? And so that's why we've got Richard this morning. He came expecting Pat.
Sorry.
you're going to hear the Holy Spirit instead. And that's what we pray for, isn't it? We will hear the Holy Spirit. So Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you that your Spirit does speak to us. And Father God, I thank you that we are open to hearing from your Holy Spirit. Pray now, Lord God, that our hearts will receive your word spoken through Richard. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Went to house group on Wednesday. Didn't think I was going to be able to make some Wednesday afternoons, but I asked Sharon deliberately if I could go this Wednesday, and she said yes. And Pat asked me last week if I would speak, and I said yes, because sometimes it always says, you know, if God asks you to do something, you should always be willing to step out. And you know, God, I've really searched this week. It's been a tough week searching his scriptures and searching his word for what God has to give us. And I went to house group on Wednesday, and I'd written about 6 pages by Wednesday. God had really given me about 6 pages, and every word I'd written on those pages came out Wednesday afternoon. Every word. Duncan, as soon as he opened his mouth, that was half my sermon gone. And, you know, it was about relationships. About relationships. But it's not just about the relationship with Jesus. It's about our relationships with everybody. And this morning, it's going to be about relationships. So I'll start first at the reading, and I want to read to you John chapter 21. I think Will's going to put it up, but it's John chapter 21. It's about Jesus appearing for the third time to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it says, "Afterwards Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. And Peter said, 'I'm going fishing.' Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Nothing. Their nets were empty. Early in the morning, Jesus stood by that shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' He said, they answered, 'No.' He said, 'Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord,' as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring me some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed aboard the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dare asked him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they were finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said again, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You know, it's been a week or so of turmoil for me, of where to go. You know, I think I didn't know whether to bless, pow, or curse her after she'd asked me to speak this week, after the week I've had with this. And I just asked William if he can put up that last song we sang. It says, the words there are about stripping away. About stripping away. Stripping away the things of this world, stripping away things that hold us, stripping away things. You know, God wants to come to our heart this morning. He wants to come right in here. He doesn't want us to come and sit and be and our veneer. You know, I thought of my brother at the back, Darwin at the back, you know, with his big boat in Cartagena, and stripping down the engines and stripping back things and stripping back all sorts of things. And I thought of a boat, you know, and on the outside of the boat, you know, it has very often polished rails and veneered wood and things that shine, you know, and things that... But God wants to strip that away this morning. He wants to strip away the veneer. He wants to strip away all the things, and he wants to come right into our hearts this morning. And he wants to search for a new relationship with us. In 2 Kings, I'm going to jump about a little bit this morning. I'm not expecting anybody to follow this because it's not... I'm not reading loads, but it's just in 2 Kings chapter 12. The king's name doesn't matter. I'm not talking about a specific king. I just want to talk about what happened. And it says this particular king, it said, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years that the priests instructed him. But however, he failed to strip away the high places and the ash poles. He failed to strip away. You know, we have to look at ourselves. You know, the sentence other than the relationships God gave me was, if we want to go out there, which Andrew is on his heart this year, our pastor's heart is to reach out. If we want to go out there and make a difference, we have to be different. We must be different to make a difference. If we're not different, we're not going to make a difference out there. If we're going to be in the world and of the world, we're not going to make a difference out there. We have to be different. We have to be different. You know, I've got something to thank the Lord for this morning. You know, in again, looking this week, you know, the Sunday before Christmas, we came here and Audrey and I had a big hug. You know, God had blessed us that week. He'd really blessed us that week. He'd shown us the promised land. He'd shown us the promised land. Because we stood at Camposol and we had, Geordie had her husband and her children next to her, and I had my wife next to me. And we stood and we sang to the crowd around, you know, and Sharon stood behind a microphone with me. And she sang out. She sang out. She didn't know the words that she was singing necessarily, but she sang out. She stood before the crowd. And God, I tell you, that was such a joy to have my wife stood next to me. I can't explain it, what it was to have my wife stood with me. And in the carol service, you know, Sharon said to me, she said, we had 7 friends come with us to the carol service. And Andrew had asked her to do a reading. And she got up and she did a reading. And Andrew said, and the people that came with us, they didn't know that she was going to do a reading. Sharon said to me specifically, she said, don't tell them I'm going to do a reading. And she got up and she walked out the front as Duncan called her forward to speak, to read God's word. And she came up and she read the Bible, which was again a joy to me, because all that week she'd been practicing it around the house and speaking it out, walking around the garden with her Bible in her hand, speaking out the word of God. You know, that was amazing to hear Sharon speaking out the word of God. And she stood up here and our friends sat back there, and I heard them saying, she kept that quiet, didn't know she was going to do that. You know, we have to be different to make a difference. We have to be different to make a difference. It's not about keeping quiet, it's about making a difference. In 2 Kings 12, it's the story about, 2 Kings 7, the story about the lepers outside the city. You know, they were hungry. They were dying of thirst, they were dying of hunger. The Israelites were inside the city walls and they were dying of thirst and dying of hunger. They were besieged by a great army. And the lepers turned round in that story and they said to each other, let's go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they don't, we die. Then we die. But we've got nothing to lose. So let's go out to the camp. And they went out to the camp and they found it deserted. God had made a sounding army and frightened them away. And they deserted the camp. The food was there. Everything was there. It was all left behind. They'd all gone. And the lepers pillaged the first tent and they ate the food and filled their bellies. And they went outside and hid some treasures. And then they come back to pillage the second tent and they said to each other, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called at the city gates to the gatekeepers and told them, we went into the camp of the Armenians, and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys. The tents were left as they were. The gatekeeper shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. You know, we need to go out and tell people. You know, if we wait until, it says here, if we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. If we wait till daylight. You know, it's a dark world out there. It's a dark black world out there. If we wait for tomorrow, and wait until daylight, it might be too late. Jesus could have come again. You know, his daylight is coming. We have to step into the darkness and speak to the people where they are. You know, it's not going to be easy to reach into this darkness. Pat said yesterday, it spoke to my heart straight away again, you know, we're going to have to ask God for a pathway to be opened because we can't see the way. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know, it says the world out there is going to be a tough place. It's not going to be easy to step out. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a garden of roses. People aren't going to fall at our feet and say, what must I do to be saved? There are going to be people out there that are going to tell us to go away. There are going to be people out there that will laugh at us. There are people out there will take the mickey. They won't want to know. They say, I'm a good person. I don't need your God. I'm a good person. I don't need your God. But they do need our God. They have no hope. It's a black hole. There's only sowing lost hopelessness in this world. We need to take a new love. We need to be different to make a difference. You know, we have to be careful where we're coming from. We have to be careful where we're coming from. I've left one of my things out. Going back to the reading this morning, you know, Simon Peter was despondent. He was despondent. He was in a defeated place. He said, I'm going out to fish. But he was going out alone to fish. He wasn't going out with Jesus. He says, I'm going out to fish. But the problem is, when we do that sometimes, we affect others around us. And Peter went out to fish and he took six others away with him. He took six others away with him. We have to be so careful this morning how we speak, how we talk, what we say to people. We have to be different in here, because what we say can affect other people around us. We have to be different. You know, he says, I'm going out to fish. He caught nothing. The fish, the nets were empty. He caught nothing. He caught nothing. But you know, Peter was defeated. He was so down. And I can understand where he's coming from. You know, sometimes we get that way ourselves. I do very often. You know, things we see at home don't happen. You know, Audrey with John, me with Sharon, and others with their partners. You know, we have quite a few here that their partners aren't in, our husbands and wives aren't in with us in the faith. And we have to be so careful at home, you know, but we can't tread on eggshells always. So we need that relationship. We need that deep relationship, because it needs to be Jesus shining through us. We can't always think for ourselves. It has to be him. It has to be that love, that core love of Jesus in our hearts. But Peter, you know, he'd gone through a bit of a rough time, you know. He denied Jesus. He was one of the ones that followed him. He was one of the ones that stuck his head above the, you know, the pit and got out, and was one that always was loud, always liked to jump about, always wanted to be seen, you know. And, you know, he said to the Lord one day, you know, and God said to, you know, when God said, who do they say that I am? Peter was the first one that says, you know, who do you say that I am? Peter was the first one that says, you are the Son of God. And later in the same chapter, it says, he took Jesus aside and said, Lord, you can't say these things. That's not going to happen. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You know, sometimes we have to keep an eye on where our spirit is. We have to keep control of our spirit and our relationship with Jesus. So Peter was defeated, you know. He'd sat at the fireplace and said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. We can't go out into this world and say anymore, we don't know him. How often, you know, I said to God after Wednesday, I said, where's this going? Because so much had been said that I was going to speak on. Where's this going? And he says, be real of yourself. be real of yourself. So this morning I'm going to be real with you this morning. There's things in my life that I'm not proud of. There's things in my life that I'm not proud of. But, you know, our relationship starts somewhere with Jesus, and it started with me when I was 10 years old. And I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 10. On the 2nd of September 1974, I met with Jesus. 2 years later, Jesus took me to my knees and I was baptized. But then, like some of us, as we grew up through the teens, you know, I was in youth groups and stuff like this. But something got in the way. Something got in the way. And when I went into relationships, relationships took me away from the Lord. Because relationships weren't right. Relationships went to places they shouldn't have gone. But relationships went that way. And this morning we have to come and say sorry. We have to pull down these high places. You know, they have control sometimes of our lives. And we need to pull down these high places. We need to be a king of high places gone. We need to pull down these altars. We need to pull down these ash poles. We need to pull down these things in our lives and throw them away. But in 2 Kings, again, God took me to 2 Kings a lot, you know. In 2 Kings 18, there was a king there, and it says he was different. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places. He smashed the sacred stones. He cut down the Asherah poles and broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made, for the Israelites were burning incense to it. This king trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judea, either before or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands of the Lord and had given Moses. You know, we have to follow the commands that Jesus has given us. The new commands. To love one another. To bless one another. To reach out to one another. Because it has to be his pure love in our hearts. It has to be a real love. And this morning, you know, Jesus, even in this story back in John 21, he said friends. You know, he remembered. He hadn't called them servants anymore. He called them friends. Even though they'd gone in the boat and gone off fishing and done their own thing that night again, he called them friends. He says, friends, have you no fish? Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. You know, if we're willing to go out and do what God wants us to do and do it his way, then he will fill our nets. He will fill our nets. We don't have to go and search for the fish. He will bring them to us. You know, we are responsible for our relationships of the people we have around us, to spread the word of the Lord, to be a light, to be a light. And it says they were unable to haul in the net. There was such a great number. And Peter, when he heard it was the Lord, he could not wait. He jumped out of the boat. You know, that word has been with me since last summer. And except it was the first time Peter got out of the boat. God really spoke to me last summer while I was away travelling. And in John, early chapters of John, it says about, in early chapters of Matthew, it says about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. You know, this time he didn't worry about walking on the water. He didn't worry about walking on the water. He jumped in. You know, because the things of this world cannot touch us. The waves, the water might come around us. It can't touch us. We have a victory in our Lord Jesus. We have a victory. And it can't touch us. We have a faith to take. We have, we've got to be like the lepers. We've got to go out and tell the good news before it's too late, before the daylight comes. Before the daylight comes. And it is coming. The daylight is coming. But we know not when that's coming, so in the meantime we have to go and do what God wants us to do. So Peter jumped out of the boat and went to Jesus. But if you notice, the fish was already on the fire. Breakfast was already cooking. Jesus had already supplied. He didn't need the 153 fish, but he said to Peter, bring the fish anyway. And last time I heard this passage spoken here, I'm not even going to try and compete with the man that spoke on it. And he actually dared say, you know, when it says further on, it says, do you love me more than these? You know, is there things in your life that God's asking you, do you love me more than these? Is there things in your life that needs to be dealt with this morning? Needs to be washed away? Is he saying, is there things in your life that you love more than, that, do you love me more than these? He wants a new relationship with us today. He wants to take us to new places that we haven't been. He wants to open new pathways. We want to see that 153 fish. We want to see his 153 fish. We want to go fishing with Jesus today. But to go there, we have to be in a new place with him. Is he saying to you this morning, do you love me? Can you answer that honestly and say, you know that I love you? And then he says, feed my lambs. But again, is he saying this morning to you, do you love me? You know, and you think and you look at it and you think, wow, you know, when he starts asking you again, you've got to start searching deep within. And he says the second time, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But again, is he asking for a third time? Do you love me? And he says, can you honestly say this morning, from deep within your heart, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Because that's where he wants to take us, you know. That relationship with him. Such a loving relationship, the depth of it is unknown. We can't even go that deep. We can't even go that wide. But are we willing this morning to not worry about what fear of man can do to us? You know, in 2 Kings, that one in 18, chapter 18, 2 Kings, the king there was up against the Armenians. You know, they come and surrounded him, and they tried selling seeds of doubt into the lives of the king and to the leaders there and into the men on the walls. They started speaking to them, and they sent their commander-in-chief out and said, you know, who is your God? Who do you think he is? He can't stand against me. That's what the devil's saying to us this morning, you know, when we go out there sometimes. He can't stand against me. But our King is Jesus. Our King is Jesus. He went to the cross. He's paid the price. You know, there's nothing that can stand, because Jesus is standing with us. Before I wrote this, you know, earlier in the year at Christmas, I was looking at, you know, what God has done for us, you know, in sending his son. You know, if we want to go out and run a race, it says the Christian life is a race to go and run. You know, and one of the things we can bank on, you know, in our Christian life is Jesus is always with us. It says he's always with us. You know, we might not know the pathway, how it's going to open and where we're going to go. But it's always going to be, he's always going to be with us. And, you know, if you want to run a marathon, they say to run the London Marathon, you need to train a year before, at least, to even get a semi-decent time. But if you want to win that race, it's got to be a lifetime work. If you want to win the gold medal and get the, you know, get the t-shirt, you've got to go out and it be a lifetime work. Not just for a short period. It's got to be a new thing. But the race I looked at was, you know, that it just reminded me that Jesus was running with us, was the blind race on the track. And the blind man has a guide running alongside with a tether. And the guide runs with him, step by step, in step with that person. And that's the race we run. When we go out there, we don't go out alone. when we're in our relationships, wherever Jesus has given us relationships, we're not alone. He is with us step by step. He stays in step with us. Always. So this morning, my challenge is to you, or God's challenge to you, I believe, because he's challenged my heart this week, is, you know, do you want to be different to make a difference? Are you willing to pull down those high places? But not just pull them down that they can be rebuilt at any time. Let's smash them. Let's smash them. Let's burn them. Let's test them with fire. That only it was left is pure gold. Now it says in 2 Timothy, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument of noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. This morning, let's pull these things down. Let's cleanse our lives this morning, and let's reach into him. Father, we thank you that we can search your word. Lord, that you are a God that loves us that much. That you are a God that's saying you want that relationship with us so deep within. You don't want any shiny timbers on the outside. You want the core being. And Father, this morning, I just want to lay it all before you this morning and give it all back to you. Whatever you want to do in this place, may we say this morning as a united body, but Lord, we are in your hands. Lord, we are in your hands. Guide us. Open your pathway. Amen.
Amen.